Blog Talk Radio.
Never violate the codes of the streets, and I would never make a promise that I know I couldn't keep, and I would never testify, cop out for a plea, or surrender information on my boys to the police, and you could never catch me on the block without a strap, and I would never pull it out unless I'm out to black, and I could never forget my homies dying for their scratch, but ever pouring out liquor for them, God to the back, and I would.
Appreciate you coming out to fuck with him in the building. I see y'all out there, man. I just want y'all to know one motherfucking thing. I would never, ever violate the codes in the streets, and I would never make a promise that I know I couldn't keep it.
Hands up, eyes open, the fifth clip. Face and we get some of this good shit. This should be the chairman checking in. Now, when I say cold of the sea, we talking about the path of clubs. Not trying to party clubs, that is. I would never violate the cold of the sea. Would never speak nor serve the interests of our enemies. And if I say that I'm with you, we'll come get you. You best believe that like bad luggage, we'll never leave. Now, of course, I can never say that I never will go broke. Because sad to say that we ain't never had this shit roll. Well, I can never say how it's gonna go. One thing for sure and two things for certain. They know to shut up motherfuckers like us. They gonna have to kill us, close up in the casket. Read a quick verse and close the motherfucking curtains. Never be sad, I would, I like a hoe. Never been drunk, I'll never let it slide. Never let it go. Never ever, never ever ever. No, get on my level hoe. Or go get a shovel hoe. It's never in question for my manhood, I get down. I'll never switch, never stick, never sit down. I never hesitate to squeeze a nigga six rounds. I never squat to take a piss, who's the bitch now? I would never put profit over politics, principle, nor our people. I would never sell my soul. Never put bullshit in the business and never place good upon the evil. You see, why I'm determined to die before being dishonored. Committed to being captured and killed before being capitulated. And that would be perfected, pushing this shit to the motherfucking limit. And if need be, pull the motherfucking trigger with a pistol without no hesitation. I will pass the cover to my last breath, to my last goddamn roar. And we'll never forget what them pigs did at 4:35 a.m. in 1969 Chicago on December the 4th. Never, never, never.
I never ran, never will, I ain't never scared. It's in my bloodline, the realest nigga ever bred. And that's some of the realest shit that I done ever said. And I can die, but through my lyrics, I ain't never dead. I never disrespect my mama, never disrespect her mama neither. I never turn my back on Jesus. I never get caught off in the system, I believe her. Man that follows man, ain't a man, and I'm a leader.
I will never cross my comrades and never forsake our fight for freedom. And if you listen to my second verse, let me say it again just in case y'all won't listen. I will never put profit over politics, press with nor our people. I will never disrespect the legacy of Minister UEP. Never betray the Black Panther Party. And never bow down and lay down the legacy at the feet of our enemies. Never, never, never. I am a Panther cub by birth and by battle. This is my bloodline and my prison time. And when it be, that wherever the enemy, if they try to hijack this legacy, wherever it be, not on our watch. For we'll never, never, never have it. Never, 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 never.
Never gonna turn cold, my nigga. I can never trade. I never cross my homies out. That ain't how I'm made. And I never had not one regret on how I was raised. I'm from the ghetto where I slung and rapped it every day. Never knew no other way. This ain't gonna never change. Never gonna bite my tongue. Fuck what a nigga say. 100 with myself. I swore to God I'd stay the same. And when I finally got my paper, I was on my game. Never talk a nigga down. Do your thing, dawg. Never hate a dude for trying. That's the same, dawg. Get your motherfucking money. That's the same, dawg. Too many homies die young. Feel my pain, y'all.
October 23rd, 24th, 2016. All roads lead to Oakland, California. Lonely legacy of Black Panther Party. Protected, respected, and never, never neglected. Never, never.
Rage.
the griddle in the middle like Moni. You're phony cause your style's baloney, but I rock no filler. Ain't a girl in Sierra putting rappers on ice and lock the bodies in the chiller. The way I bust it up, I up Chuck Nasty style like throw up, blow up, then go nuts like a lady ninja killer. I throw you deep beneath the surface. It's the rage from Page, I heat it up like a furnace. My steel got smoke, check the gamma ray from the She-Hulk. Stomping through your territory, new rap female category winner. And your style gets played out like the spinners. Not a soprano, I alto, the rage is a tenor. My voice is just right, I bust hypodermic to you in the mind's eye. Making you hip-hop junkies wanna fly like eagles. My style short but cathedral steeples. Showing and proving even a lady can be beagle. So breaker, you best keep on trucking. And roll over that chicken shit to plucking. You're stuckin', stupid, you doofus. I'm rhyming so hard, I'm knocking out your tooth. A teacher, believe this shit, but head just get played out like Beavis. Receive it, it's yours, lyrical murder, but still rocking on.
Rock on, rock on. The lady you raised, lyrical murderer, the baddest lyricist.
Now I'm a explosive vocalist, make your ear just to focus. No hocus pocus, no bogus, I'm the dopest. Lyrics see the locus, where it's so copacetic. I see through your synthetics with my telekinetics. I mean my telepathic from this mouth of madness. Rose, one of the baddest in existence. My existence is prevalent. Hesitant not, you'll get dropped. I'm rhyming so hard, I see you knocking outside. Cause I slam like collision from your vision to me. If you can't touch it, not even a smidgen to me. Your pigeon shit to me, so drop it, drop it.
Damn,
I take a puff and I blow out like Moby. Running lyrics quicker than Toby. What's my name? Yeah, you know me. Rage, lyrical murderer. What's my name? Yeah, yeah. Rage, lyrical murderer. Yeah, you know me. So if you wanna see me, turn on your headlights. I make you run red lights, trying to catch it. Slam into the radio and the wreckage. Towed away, blowed away. Cut down, mowed away. Curled up like Olaf Ray. So let me straighten it out, cause I'm a thriller. Motherfucking MC cold killer. When I pop back, you better drop that. Yo, hop back, I rocked at the dawn. Yes, I still rock on.
Rock on, rock on. The lady you raised, lyrical murderer, the baddest lyricist born. Rock on, rock on. The lady you raised, lyrical murderer, the baddest lyricist
born. Now when it comes to the hippest in hip-hop, I make your lips drop. Knees knock, buckle and shake their hooves and make the wrong move. Get dusted, busted, whacking seeds who can't cut the mustard. I stick it to you like voodoo, so who do you think you're fooling? Not Rick, but fooling. Ha, you couldn't hang with the new. You want your boots to get caught. You what? Look up in the sky. Why? And fly, robin, fly, giving you whatever suits. You got the size 8 Timberlands to boot ya. Oops, upside your head. Ayo, I'm singing red like a bull. Baby, I got the pull of a knot. Red fox, cutting out fox me because I'm foxy like brown. Break it down now. What? From the end to the start, lyrical murderer. Pumps fear in hearts. I'm tearing parts to pieces like Reese's. I freak it, speak it in tongues. Put you on like Benita Applebaum. You can't see me, you're blind to the fact that I'm on deck. Swinging on the wax, striking them out like that. Hats off, blast off. Watch me rock it, sock it to ya. Whatever it takes to do ya. Done, done, top gun. It's the lady of rage, still rated number one, motherfucker.
wish I could open up them gates and see my dog. I'm still yet to see no more. I know a couple real ones stranded on their yard. You know one day we gon' come. All they wanna do is see us fall. All my niggas ride fully loaded, 10 toes for me in the heat of war. Money, baby, you my Mia Mo. Free my niggas and free some more. Fuck the judge with a sick dick, but a nigga hate club even more. Evil souls, nowadays gotta keep it close. That's on my life, we're full of wrong, just hard to do right. Until I get on, you know I'ma grind. Yeah, put a little nigga on ice. Yeah, do you remember them nights? Yeah, nigga was hustling and starving, trapped by the apartment, pumping that pack, I was starving. Open up them gates and see my dog. I'm still yelling for no more. I know a couple real ones stranded on their yard. Yeah, you know one day we gon' fall. Yeah, real mom,
free my dogs, free my dogs, free them all, free them all, free my dogs, free them dogs, freedom dogs, freedom dogs, free them all, free them all, free my dogs, free my dogs, free them all, free them all.
Hey, I'm yelling free my dogs, it's forever, fuck the law. Middle fingers till they call my niggas ready for war. Cause we'll come through like some soldiers, we'll come through like we own it. Yeah, nigga, we own it, what's that?
What's that?
You don't want smoke, bitch. Free my niggas who is totin', free my niggas who lost focus. Real niggas won't focus, real niggas, they know this. With a pig to a wolf, with a rat to a wolf, that's a real small snack. Yeah, niggas know that. Once you cross that line, he'll nod.
Wish I could open up some gates and see my dog.
Free them all, free them all, free my dogs, free my dogs. Free them all, free them all, free my dogs, free them dogs. Freedom dogs, freedom dogs. Free them all, free them all, free my dogs, free my dogs. Free them all, free them all.
I wish I could open up the gates and free them all. My niggas, they was running from the jakes, but they got caught. Place that we involved, we was raised to be some dogs. Bullet holes in the walls, niggas never had a cause. They thought it was because everybody in the gang. And you ain't cool till you catch a body. Living in the hood, remember good times. Smoking on the black, spin good rhymes.
Wish I could open up them gates and free my dog.
Yeah,
my dog. I'm still yelling for no more. I know a couple real ones stranded on their yard.
Hey, yeah, we're the same brothers from a long time ago. We was talking about television and doing it on the radio. What we did was to help our generation realize they got to get out there and get busy because it wasn't going to be televised. We got respect for your rappers and the way they freeway in. But if you're going to be teaching folks things, be sure you know what you're saying. Older folks in our neighborhood got plenty of know-how. Remember, if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be out there now. And I ain't coming at you with no disrespect. All I'm saying is that you damn well got to be correct. Because if you're going to be speaking for a whole generation, and you know enough to try and handle their education, be sure you know the real deal about past situations, and ain't just repeating what you heard on a local TV station. Sometimes they tell lies and put them in a truthful disguise. But the truth is, that's why we said it wouldn't be televised. They don't know what to say to our young folks, but they know that you do. And if they really knew the truth, why would they tell you? The first sign is peace. Tell all them gun-toting young brothers that the man is glad to see us out there killing one another. We raised too much hell when they were shooting us down, so they started poisoning our mind and trying to jerk us all around. And then they tell us they got to come in and control our situation. They want half of us on dope and the other half in incarceration. If the ones they want dead ain't killed by what they instigated, they can put some dope on the brother's body and claim it was drug-related. Tell them drug-related means there don't need to be no investigation, or at least that's the way they're gonna play it on the local TV station. All your 9mm brothers, give them something to think about. tell them you heard that this is the new word. They got to work that stuff out. But somehow they feel in the wrong way with a gun in their hands. They feel real independent, but they just pulling contracts with a man. 5 and 5 will tell you it's hopeless out there on the avenue, but if they really knew the truth, why would they tell you? And if they look at you like you're insane and they start calling you scarecrow and say you ain't got no brain, or start telling folks that you suddenly gone lame, or that white folks have finally co-opted your game, or worse yet, implying that you don't really know, that's the same thing they said about us a long time ago. Young rappers, one more suggestion before I get out of your way. But I appreciate the respect you give me and what you got to say. I'm saying protect your community and spread that respect around. Tell brothers and sisters they got to calm that bullshit down. Cause we're terrorizing our old folks and we brought fear into our homes. And they ain't got to hang out with the senior citizens. Just tell them, damn it, leave the old folks alone. And we know who ripping off the neighborhood. Tell them that BS has got to stop. Tell them you're sorry they can't handle it out there, but they got to take the crime off the block. And if they look at you like they think you're insane, or start calling you scarecrow thinking you ain't got no brain, or start telling folks that you suddenly gone lame, or that white folks have suddenly co-opted your game, or worse yet, saying that you really don't know, that's the same thing they said about me a long time ago. And if they tell folks that you finally lost your nerve, that's the same thing they said about us when we said Johannesburg. But I think you young folks need to know that things don't go both ways. You can't talk respect on every other song or just every other day. What I'm speaking on now is the raps about the women folks. On one song, she's your African queen, and on the next one, she's a joke. And you ain't said no words that I haven't heard, but that ain't no compliment. It only insults 8 people out of 10 and questions your intelligence. 4-letter words or 4-syllable words won't make you a poet. It will only magnify how shallow you are and let everybody know it. And if they look at you like they think you're insane, or they call you scarecrow thinking you ain't got no brain, or start telling folks that you suddenly gone lame, or that the white folks have finally co-opted your game, or you really don't know, they said that about me a long time ago. If they finally start telling people that you lost your nerve, that's what they said about Johannesburg. You ain't insane. You have got a brain. You haven't gone lame. You have got your game. Remember, keep the nerve. Keep the nerve. Keep the nerve. Keep the nerve. We're talking about peace.
Heads up, eyes open, the fist, let y'all know the spirit of making this. You're taking this from tape, you're locked and loaded for another episode of Free Radio, y'all. Again, let's get locked and loaded for another Free MR Radio. Call the number 99-477-3785. Press 1 to be tapped in with us, moving and grooving. Y'all been with me, man. It's been a rough day, but we're going to make history, take history, tape history, y'all. Not that calling up in. We got some updates for you. We're going to be moving and grooving. You have an issue with crossing certain geographical borderlines. This might not be the ride for you because, again, we're not set tripping. You may stop in Ghana, maybe behind the walls of Umiabuja Mall, C numbers, the infamous Cook County Jail, Ohio, New Orleans, Louisiana, New Mexico. You know what I'm saying? So we moving and grooving in the spirit of internationalism. Right on. See y'all tapping in with us. My sister right on Free Them All. Locked and loaded. There you go. Help me out, Stoddy. I know you got a lot of social media expertise. If you can tap in, make sure you get on Facebook. Parise, I don't know if you tapped in yet. Make sure you get on Facebook. Somebody tag my page on Facebook. Y'all's kids, right on. Salute right back at y'all, man. Love, respect, right on. It's a checkpoint. Free Them All. See everybody tapping in with us, y'all. We're gonna be moving and grooving, touching on a number of topics today, y'all. So again, lock that number in. You know that number about hard, about 929-477-3785. Is your press 1 to get in. As you may notice, we're not in the studio today. Not in the studio today. We are literally out in the office, our office, and one of the matches of Black Panther Party Cubs is the streets of our office. Our work hours are 24 hours a day. Yes, I look forward. Yeah, we're gonna try to make it happen. Right on. I look forward to get back on the red in South Dakota. Revolutionary love, respect, no doubt about it. We still have not come down from the inspiration to move there. You know, no doubt about it. Looking forward to getting back. No doubt about it. I'm not on Facebook, okay? And someone, I don't know how this works. We can get Paris, she can tap in, she tapped in already or not, to make sure that someone tags my page on Facebook with it. Or if not, we just take this from YouTube live, put it on Facebook. So some simple reason she taps in. You share, it's on Facebook, okay, right on. Perfect, perfect. And y'all bear with us, as we say, Cub with us. So I guess some forces going to bring us some nutrition back in a minute. So I might have to break up, you know, second week, man. I haven't broke bread yet, but that's, in other words, I haven't eaten yet. We've been moving on. We've been moving nonstop. Let's start up with we're going to be breaking the ice with a few subject matters we're going to be working on in the upcoming weeks. February 28th. Well, first let me say this. We want to struggle up to ante, you know what I'm saying? Our history, our people is internalized. The significance of that is internalized every day. But in the meantime, between time, with this being what they refer to as Black History Month, we want to see the time, you know what I'm saying? Because it kind of gives like a green light for some people to acknowledge, you know, that the integral role the African people, you know what I'm saying, particularly, you know, here in the U.S. have played. So feel free to tap in different, you know what I'm saying, updates or information that people may not be familiar with, you know what I'm saying, dropping in. You may want to call in your assessment on the Grammys. Do not feel limited by this. We have on the flyer to for the subject matter to be discussed. That's a template, but again, everything is political. Everything is political. No. Free them all. Good. Let me go. I'm on the radio right now. I'm on the show right now. Don't worry about it. Free them all. I know I got to call back now because if y'all, my volume has been going out. I know it. Can y'all hear me still? Right on Instagram. I know you can't hear me now. Once you call the phone, I lose my volume. Can you hear me now? Anyone can hear me? Can you still hear me on Instagram? Let me know if you can hear me. I might just start back over. I know. Once I get a phone call on Instagram, my volume is gone. So I'm gonna call back in. Free them all. Bear with us, y'all. Cub with us. Give us a few minutes. No calls on the phone on Wednesday, 6:30 to 8:30. Like people say, Easter Sunday, what they think, man. Now, just give a few minutes so you can get back in on Instagram. Once a phone call comes in, whether I answer or not, I lose all volume. We're working to get to that stage in the game. We have everything technically set up, you know, studio, everything. You know, but you know, we're working for that. We're working for a revolutionary climate when things fall in sync. In other words, it's a revolutionary climate. Like, it's a dynamic, like, you know, you have certain organizations, they know on certain days how to move, you know, the eco, you know what I'm saying, works in, oh, man, yeah, okay, yeah. We're going to make a major thing on this here. One second, y'all. Yes. Come on, I ain't got time, major minus. Hang on, don't think it's bad. Okay, all right, that's okay. Can y'all still hear me on Instagram Live? Let me know if you can still hear me. Give me a hand so you can still hear me. Oregon. Send us the information. For those who've been sending information, forgive us. We've not been getting back to you. We're answering our mail. We're trying to tighten up the Save the Happen House at gmail.com. Who's just in Oregon? If you can send that request, damn. Excuse me. One second, please. Excuse me one second. Y'all forgive me. I'm trying to multitask around here, y'all. Y'all forgive me. I'm a panther cub trying to be like an octopus, do 8 things at one time. Forgive me. For the Oregon event, if you can email chairmanfredspeaks@gmail.com, and we're going to try to get back to you ASAP, chairmanfredspeaks@gmail.com. A lot of people say, Chairman, you didn't make it to this event or you was late. I say, I want you to hang with us for a damn office. And I'm working on doing like a reality show, you know what I'm saying, because can't say, you know, I mean, I'm saying this, I ain't crying the blues, ain't no music playing. A sister said to me the other day, she said, I take issue, Chairman, when you reference yourself as the last call for alcohol. She said, you know, we respect you, we appreciate you, our leadership. And I said, I appreciate that. But the reality is, the objective reality is, I study our people also. Certain conditions have to be ripe for people, you know what I'm saying, to relate to, you know what I'm saying, such forces about self. And there's no indictment on myself. There's nothing that, you know, the revolution, this is not, I'm not talking me as an individual, revolutionaries. And you look historically, you may see sound bites, you may see pictures from different revolutionary periods, whether it be in Africa, whether it be in Korea, Vietnam. You'll say, oh, man, this ain't gonna work for me today. Yes, sir, brother, yes. Yes.
There's no taco on your order. Do you want them to take off the chips?
Yeah, take off whatever you got to take off, bro. They can make it up. Yep, take off. Just to make whatever we got enough resources for. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Right. Okay. Thank you, bro. All
right.
I have to start back over on Instagram. Yes. Bear with us. Let me be consistent. Most walks of life, whether it be your church, whatever religious institution you're dealing with, there could be more of a consistent flow. We talk about the Black Panther Party. You have to, like, even talk about the contradictions within the Black Panther Party. You look at the timeline they were even able to they exist. You look at 19 in Chicago in 1969 alone, the attacks they were subjected to. You look at forces coming in, and by the time certain forces learn the roll call or how to move in the revolutionary organization, they getting locked up. You got to bring in new forces, you got to train in new forces. You know what I'm saying? The time period, you know what I'm saying? The turn, it's like a relationship. You say, man, you like people say, you have people, some people's relationship say they want to break up with their wife or their husband. Even though it's bad, people say, why? Because they finally got like a rhythm. You know what I'm saying, with their children, they get like a feel on the pros and cons of relationship. Most of revolutionary organizations is deprived of that. Because soon you got to deal with forces, and you not just got to move on a pivot. You got to grab forces who just, you know say, who come in. Idealistic as it is, We want to believe that everybody come in, they love to struggle, but the reality is people get involved in struggle one of three ways. Inspiration, aspiration, and desperation. Excuse me, inspiration, aspiration, or desperation. And like one of the things, like even one campaign, like even with the Save the Hampton House, if you're outside looking in, you say, well, why has the renovation has not happened yet? You have to keep in mind, we steady, you know, dealing with different campaigns. You don't go to be a reactionary or get called ambulance chaser, but you got to be able to be right there because people, that vanguard has to be consistent. And even other people go on their lifetime, you know what I'm saying, they celebrating their PPP loans, they got relationships, their child graduation, whatever the case may be. The vanguard, you know what I'm saying, I got people who get up, I'm sick. They be like, whoa, what? You got to do this, you know what I'm saying? So we can't talk about, I'm not crying the blues. Man, myself, a lot of times, when you talk about revolution is complete change. Complete a change. And that means even the concept is one thing to do security or deal with economics in the bourgeoisie sense. There's a different dynamic, a different politic that comes with revolutionary organization. You know what I'm saying? It's a relationship. You just like many people, y'all may see us as our post revolutionary love and respect. The up the ante on how, what do we, you know what I'm saying, what do we view love and respect? You know what I'm saying? A different, not the way, not in a conventional way, the way the ruling class is giving you the way that you can move. Even when we organize, most of it is taught by, you know what I'm saying, by some state sanctioned entity. So, you know what I'm saying, the same entity that's oppressing them that tells them, this is how you fight. This is how you deal with me. We come with a different dynamic. It's the way we struggle, the way we deal with contradictions. In many cases, you don't see the benefit of it right then. But the politics is a protracted struggle. You can see long-range effect. You can look at the impact for generations. Look at Tupac and put it in contrast to just in hip-hop alone. You feel what I'm saying? That go back and look at the video when Pac was a youngster, 13, 14 years old. He couldn't even, and I related to him. He didn't even say the word. He couldn't even say the word bitch. He was saying, I say, most friends of mine, he said the women, the girls, he said, I don't call them bees enough. And he was saying how that it impacted me to have relationships. Because the deal was, his mother, Comrade Akua, said, Pac needed organization, and organization needed Pac. But also, he was deprived of that period. It was a revolutionary climate. Where it was an understanding of what an athlete, you know what I'm saying, come into the struggle, different how you do relationships, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't this, you know what I'm saying, this conventional thing, you know what I'm saying, like, it was an understanding that, man, how a person may be vamped on the day of tomorrow, you know what I'm saying, vamped on, locked up, how we do prisoners. It was a climate in the 60s where children would hold their chest up and say, this is where your daddy is. My father's in jail. Where's your mother? She's on the run. It was a different way you viewed relationships, contradictions. It was not even a thought in one's head. It was an understanding of who the police were. When even thought of calling, you can even fathom that. I don't care how, you know what I'm saying, like call the police with each other. You know what I'm saying? There's a different climate. And the ecosystem was set in place, was the people, it wasn't even the confusion about who the Vanguard Party was. It wasn't even the thought about, well, I'm doing this the same way, different ways. It was different religious institutions, but it was how they say, you stay in your lane, it's less traffic. It was less car accidents, because it was a clarity. This is the artist. This is a revolutionary. This is a religious institution. It was a clarity. One of America's policies is to create chaos and then restore order. I'm gonna be jumping around different places right, you know what I'm saying, for a minute. This is also upcoming election period, election time. Election, electoral politics. I keep struggling with people a lot of times. Chairman Fred of the Black Panther Party clubs. I'll be saying, well, I know you don't do politics. In fact, as I run everything, we stress that everything is political. But we distinguish electoral politics from politics. We distinguish that. You dig what I'm saying? Politics is food, clothes, and shelter. what is this thing now, security, cool down? Make sure y'all send me on Blog Talk. How you view it, how you receive it, if you receive it. Electoral politics, you know what I'm saying? We talk about the different dynamics, you know what I'm saying? The local politicians, the national politicians, so on and so forth, you know what I'm saying? But politics trumps that. Politics trumps, you know what I'm saying? This is some of that, the discussion of economics, you know what I'm saying? Now, electoral politics, certain arenas, it's a phenomenon, certain stages in the game. I usually, and that was a request brought to me years ago by even running for electoral office in Chicago. I said, whoa, too cutthroat. In fact, Frank Sinatra said, this kind of town. Gangsta, gangsta in Chicago. And we talk about Chicago's history with the infamous Daily Machine, so Mayor Richard Daley Sr. And I usually hold back from it because it's like it's a climate where it breeds a certain, like I say, a cocky from a complex. A lot of people, they go overboard and get extra, like, you know, what you doing? I remember some years ago, our sister was on a talk show. And at the time, it was a question, and I didn't vote, like in many occasions. And she said, how can he not vote? That's Fred Hampton's son. And she was, at the time, she was running for office. This was about 10 years ago, or 12 years ago. And I remember saying, you know, we on this consistent basis. And in fact, we had issued the term vote or die. When there was an arrogance by the ruling class and those who work into the ruling class, the Puffy Combs and the likes. You know what I'm saying? I think it was Bill Clinton, who was running for office. And they came, these entertainers, the artists that came out with an arrogance, who never said nothing, made it clear they weren't touching no tangible issues in our community. All of a sudden, these pop-up stores, these pop-up artists were put in front of us, say, either you're going to vote or die. You should hold that position in a relationship. If a woman don't go out with somebody or a man, and she just said, well, she's going out with somebody, it should not be a foregone conclusion. In fact, we have to flip the script. What is their position on reparations, political prisoners? You know what I'm saying? The African anti-terrorism bill. And I said, well, black people don't see what I'm saying. When Obama ran, we never came here with a platform. If you can't see some basic issues addressed with black people just from the outside looking in, basic. At minimum, that's a disconnect. But right now, it's coming up, and we're going to be breaking ice because there's some serious cuts, we can either take different from the Vanguard and say either we're going to lay back on our laurels and say, okay, now we've been saying this, y'all got to hear us. In many cases, there's not these contradictions, really, the train has left the building, you know, so it's close to. In other words, contradictions such as the fentanyl, you know what I'm saying, the chemical biological warfare that's flooded through our community. We're going to do a show on that in particular. The cartels' presence that people have been denied they don't want to talk about, you know what I'm saying, in Chicago, you know what I'm saying, and how it's connected. How it's connected to electoral politics. See, politics, see, you just can't just do, it's just, nothing operates as an isolated entity. So we can just we go back and look and be consistent. We've been talking about the different contradictions, but there's some elections happening in Chicago that have nothing else going to help document heighten some contradictions. So we're going to be having a show before February 28th talking about different candidates. You can pull the clip on WBON the other day, and the sister of the show BON P Ray the sister show. And I was struggling to be objective, as we always try to be. Because a lot of times, black people are trivialized to get caught with this discussion about who you like personally. Nothing should be there. No entity. You know, it shouldn't be a discussion, you know, with those, like, even with, you know, like, that the states are too high for, you know what I'm saying, what policies, what programs, what position do these people take? Like, you know, the states are too high to engage in elementary discussions, and they, Hillary Clinton go on a breakfast club, pull out a bottle of hot sauce, and then, you know, win the black vote. Or they can, these politicians just can throw, you know what I'm saying, can throw a gospel song or rap lyric out and say, oh, yeah, they down. Or Obama, President Obama, U.S. President Obama can sing an Al Green lyric. You feel what I'm saying? Other communities talking about tangible you don't hear big discussion within the Chinese community, but you see the political power that they hold. You know, so you go through certain places that, you know, so you seen what happened. I said political power when the stores broke in, the carjacking in Chinatown. You seen a response You know what I'm saying? And so that you see the other communities, when certain things, you see up north at Comiskey Stadium, the Cubs play baseball, when Wiley's purse was stolen, you know what I'm saying? You see the response. You see how the media depicts certain communities, you know what I'm saying? And you go, back to, wait a minute, is it just certain individuals that represent? These can play a role, but politics transcends just that of the booth. However, it's a stage in the game where they discuss, you know what I'm saying, that discussion is being heightened now. And a lot of people say, well, I don't listen to hip-hop. Well, I don't talk electoral politics. But the deal is nothing can be the church, the mosque. There can be no neutral zones. This, you know, the ante has to be up. There is a discussion happening in every arena. And politics, now, and the deal is certain things will not be articulated or laid out for you. In other words, other communities, they will tell them, okay, this is called a propaganda bomb. Other communities, they will say, this is chemical biological warfare. With us, they will call it love the hip-hop shows. With us, they call it future, just dropped a new song. We, our political muscle and will has to be tightened up. We don't need the ruling class to define and say, okay, this is the fentanyl is knocking y'all up. You know what I'm saying? See, the climate of the 60s, where the Black Panther Party said, we don't need Mayor Daley or City Hall or the ruling class to validate my relationship. We are good. We said, this is not with my wife, so you know what I'm saying? This is what it is. There's a climate. Well, the Black Panther Party said, we don't need the CDC to say the Deputy Minister of Health, Ron Dodd Sachs, Deputy Minister of Health for the Black Panther Party. We didn't need, you know, say, the Army to say Ministry of Defense, the Minister of Defense, or some great, or some banker from West Point to say this is a genius. It was the climate was up, the ante was up. We, you know, say, defined certain comedic geniuses, Richard Pryor, on our own terms. Since we're not at that stage in the game, which we're fighting to, we got to utilize these various tools, you know what I'm saying? Or at least, you know what I'm saying, bring them out. We live and direct on Free Them All Radio, y'all. The spirit of making history, taking history, and taping history, y'all. Call in 929-477-3785 and press 1. Got a couple of guests coming in here, calling in. Ezra's going to be live in here with us, y'all. Y'all, while I'm talking, before I get to the case of Jonathan Strickland. New Mexico. Look at me, March 11, 2021. What occurred, what happened to him, he did, and we're going to say with the state and the status of it now, putting it in a climate. A lot of people can't believe it then, but we're going to say putting it in context what happened down in, with Tyree Nichols. You know what I'm saying? And these are not aberrations. Jacob Blake. Look at the case of Jacob Blake. You know what I'm saying? So wait a minute. You know, so this is too much to be happening for them. Say, this is, again, protocol police terrorism. Protocol. In other words, this is the modus operandi. Top of the flyer today. Top of the flyer. We kind of put a Panther Cub pill in applesauce. A Panther Cub pill in applesauce. A lot of people was calling. Did you see the show? Eddie Murphy got on the shirt say the police, it's not the police, they murdered Fred Hampton. Fred Hampton was murdered. Now, pros and cons of that. A lot of people say, what's your position on the chairman? Again, there's no gift wrap revolution. And first of all, let me put it in context. I got the opportunity to be inside the sausage factory, the inner workings of the politics of, you know what I'm saying, movie making. So on. And before that, I had a basic understanding. I studied history. You know what I'm saying? And I studied how Ministry of EPD dealt with the movie The Mac, how you get certain dynamics in there, certain concessions. You know what I'm saying? How the relationship that the Ministry of EPD had with Melvin Van Peebles, the elder. How that impacted them for generations to come. When they were trying to do the movie Panther, they were so arrogant, the movie industry. They actually told the Van Peebles that a white man, in fact, they had Tom Cruise slated to portray Minister Huey P. Newton. And Van Peebles, that still impact on him, respect and reverence for Minister Huey P. Newton. Says, so they can't go. That's what we do. We put moves that will stick with you, that will stick with you generations to come. Whether you know it or not, wardrobe is political in a movie set. There were certain scenes, there were certain times we had different struggles about, whoa, this, you know, why, you know, even like the O'Neill's leather jacket, Chairman's T-shirt, how it, you know, say how it looked, all and stuff that the naked eye makes it so it's no big deal. How your body language, who comes in where, who holds the gun first, so on and so forth. So I don't know if people want to think Eddie Murphy done this great. the wardrobe, and certain people they have to go to such an extent to push this. And the movie we're talking about is You People, and they set the stage, and you can see the inconsistencies, like even the variations of reference him from Naismith Islam to Sunni Muslim, and a lot of times you'd be surprised on who those who behind the scenes, the lack of information or knowledge they even have about our particular cultures. They don't know the difference. Believe me. It's such a lack of, it's like a person who has dogs who don't care about dogs. You be like, what is that? He's like, I don't know, dog, pigeon, poodle. It's a dog. They have, don't know the distinguishing, you know, see the different dynamics. And then they get up to go along with this and he'll make a difference, we all the same. No, structure. Structure. To this, because one thing, something may be a contradiction for one community is not a contradiction for another community. And that's not a bad thing to say. I know we don't say that. We don't acknowledge differences. In India, with two men walking hand in hand down the street, that's seen as a different dynamic in the community. Now, a lot of people say, oh, you should say, no, that's a reality. And the deal is, once you destroy your identity, a structure, certain things that we're conceived, there's a thing named John Boyega, actor. They went at him full force for simply saying he simply dates black women. They went at him for just saying that. He didn't say he had nothing against white women. He just said he dates black women. And to say that, it should not be an issue for someone to say, my particular tribe, my particular side of town, someone who you can relate to, something in common with. Because it may be some dynamics. What are we talking about? The food or the one culture may do something to you that's disrespectful. You know what I'm saying? That may not be disrespectful in another community. And when you have a community, so the ego, it works that way. When you have, you know what I'm saying? When you open, you go along with this ideal, this you sip on the snake oil that they can't sell to nobody. You say, okay, here you go, we all the same. You go to the doctor with certain things. Say, wait a minute. You're saying, what is the illness? You look at the physical makeup in different communities. They talk about even the nostrils. The nostrils, how it's built for come from history of certain people that can take into account the weather, the climate, all of this. That's the ecosystem, the politics. Some fools, a certain amount of native people, indigenous people, who died simply from coming into contact with white folks. I'm talking about simply from coming into contact with us. It's that's coming into contact. I'm not talking about the intentional. You know what I'm saying? It's certain dynamics of culture clashes. And you know, they're not antagonistic, can be detrimental. And that's not what we're talking about relationships. So back to the question. So we say, okay, the seeds of time. And even the title. You know what I'm saying? We say chairman for it. It's not an ego. It's put it in context that we're a structured organization. So we're slipping that up in there right now. And also, you have to be honest, because this state politician really has, I mean, no doubt, you know, Eddie Murphy, people can take that name and acknowledge that he was murdered, they were assassinated from an Eddie Murphy. It's a certain, like, sometimes, it's like it's not a fair exchange, but there are certain forces who people got to hear it from. You can say, Chairman, you be kind of going so hard. If you make up all excuses, the just process, no. The reality is, and it's true with certain things, certain discussions, that, you know what I'm saying, when you're being colonized, even the tone, who says it, and a lot of people cannot hear from black people. In fact, I said, a lot of times, black people learn best through either them telling themselves or white folks telling them. That's a reality. That's right. So that's why we try to heighten the contradictions. So we're not telling you. That's what ministry, we people talk about that term servant as opposed to your leader. Because we take into account the damage. Because so many cases that the ruling class, one of its Machiavellian tactics, is giving you the most damaged representatives of quote-unquote leadership. Why do you think that the military defeated the Black Power movement in the 60s? Throughout different cities, the black metropolis, they gave the most corrupt individuals. So your first concept with these corrupt dynamics. Why do you think a lot of women have issues with black men? Their first concept. Invite a lot of black men, young men with black females. Their first concept. It's the training process. You give a beverage, you're dealing absolute because you're coming in, especially as a child. You subjective, and you think this represents all cases. I told a lieutenant in Stateville Prison, Stateville Concentration Camp, he had a whole crew of Negroes. I said to him, they were the Lieutenant Luther Manning, excuse me, Captain Luther Manning, a beat down crew. All Negroes, one white guard with them. They notorious. They would pop the door. Oh, for the record, men and women. Male and female. Let me say that. Male and female. The politics transcends gender, generational, and geographical lines. Gender, generational, and geographical lines. Yeah. Some negress has said to me that, explained to me how the mother of Tyrese Nichols and the chief of police in Memphis, this is women. She didn't say black women. As women, they have to deal with this because men are the problem. She said, listen, she said, black men. I said, well, dig this. Does anything with the black chief of police being trained by Israel, by Israeli troops, the politics of a person? See, your politics, I tell somebody about colonize. When you colonize, you can have all, you can have what you want to have. Your definition of beauty, all you say, what you aspire to, your codes, all that, to another entity. Back to I was on my point on that, but that's, I done broke the ice on a few things, y'all. Let's open up for calls. 929-477-3785, press 1.
Grandma, Brother Chairman. We have Gloria Williams on the line. Grandma.
Yes, the Freedom Hall. Welcome to Freedom Hall Radio, my sister, Gloria Williams. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, and you, Fred. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well on the scene. I will hear you loud and clear. Family members. I don't want to do your introduction for you, but you're in Inglewood neighborhood, correct?
West Inglewood.
Let me say something about that, though. For those, I'm sure other communities are going through something similar. They cut these different divisions of land. It's like a quarter side of beef, and you come and say, "Wait, this beef is cut down small. What's going on?" It's a big thing in Chicago, California. It's Inglewood the E or Inglewood the I. This is one of the largest automatic wards in the black community for a while. Now, for her to say, "Yeah, West Inglewood," we want to talk about that. What's the distinguishment with that? What's going on? And this stuff is happening right up under our eyes. You know what I'm saying? The division and how it impacts. So we don't make a difference. You hear these different name changes. So wait a minute, that's not Logan Square. That's not North Lawndale, you know, that's not this. You know, you start hearing different name changes from different eras, and you start, like, even the zip codes. But this is connected to, you know what I'm saying, electoral wards. Who can vote where? You know what I'm saying? What services there? You know, like, there's certain entities that, you know what I'm saying, like, it's a big discussion on 63rd and Hall Street with Whole Foods is not there no more, and Save-A-Lot is put there. So you look at the different wards. Then, so wait a minute, a police had said one time in the area known as Tilden? That's still Canary Bridgeport or Canaryville? What is that?
Bridgeport is connected to Canaryville because they kind of zoned Canaryville out, because it normally would be connected a portion of the end part of Bridgeport, then it goes into Canaryville. So that's right off of 47th and Holston, from 43rd to 43rd, but Wallace, all the way over to the Princeton, if I'm not mistaken. It does 49th Street. That's called Canaryville. So that is a diverse.
You got to bring it up, too. Okay, hold on. You're kind of breaking up a little bit. Let me hear again.
Okay, so Canaryville starts at 43rd Street, right off of Halsted, and it goes all the way. I think that's Princeton, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know. Glenn is on the line, too. So I think it's by Nevada before you cross over to go to the – to it's not Princeton. I think it's Wallace.
Okay. Tell us who you are and how you fit in with this whole discussion. And brother, and Glenn can probably jump in whenever you would like to also.
So I think she got to let him in. I think she got to let him in.
What's his first? Make sure he press one if he can hear us. Press one. Make sure you press one.
Is he on?
Well,
my name is Gloria Williams. My name is Gloria Williams. I am a candidate that's running for the 15th ward. I'm running against Raymond Lopez, who is the sitting alderman now. And the reason why I'm running is because – yeah, he can hear you, Glenn.
Okay.
Did you hear him, Fred?
Okay. How are you doing, sir?
Welcome, brother. Welcome. I'm well on this team, brother. Welcome out with
You was discussing the boundaries of the new 15th ward, and yes, it cuts in and out of 44th Street, and one block covers 43rd Street over there near Union and Wallace, Emerald, and it swings up to 47th Street. It dots in and out. I mean, they really cut the ward up for the 15th ward to extend over to Wallace on the lower numbers as far as the 40s is really outrageous. They kept the extension goes over to along 47th Street over to Rockwell. Now, the current alderman, Raymond Lopez, who has been the alderman for the 15th ward for 8 years, and there has not been any economical developments at all, nothing. His main objective was to tear down buildings, make vacant lots. Now, mind you, in this area, you know, a lot of those buildings could have been rehab. There could have been a program to get the young kids off the streets to show them or come in with a program and use those houses as a teaching ground and rehab them and to put in families and make the area viable again, because with vacant lots, you know, you have no voters, you have no tax base, all that's gone once you have vacant lots. All that stuff is gone.
Yes.
And it looped around, and what really is crazy is how they looped around and they expanded the 16th ward. How it ends, it goes ins and out, and the West Englewood part sits in the middle of the 16th ward. It has a little Gage Park, back of the yards, Canaryville, all these different groups, ethnic groups, which I can understand fine, but you shouldn't have it. The ward should be drawn up to where it ins and out, stretches along. What it looks like is that it took all the bad areas of the 11th ward, the 12th ward, 13th ward, the 16th ward, the 20th ward, and they stuck them all into the 15th ward. And, for the boundaries to be like that, all that hands upon I'm not sure the name of the alderman that does the remapping, but they didn't do a favor for the 15th ward. What they did was let their friends pick the sections that they wanted, and all the bad sections Well, we'll stick it over in 15 because there's always been a fight in the 15th war. And so that's where we at with that. And like I said, again, my sister is running, and we hope to that we can get a lot of the black voters to turn out and to support her, hopefully to get into a runoff. The area is changing. We're getting a lot of Hispanic voters in, a lot of Hispanic neighbors, which, I mean, nobody can tell somebody how to, that you can't have a better life. I have nothing, I can't, nobody can do that. You know what I'm saying? Everybody want a better life. Like we, when we migrated from the South, everybody wanted a better life. So that's something that we have to deal with. And hopefully, as they say, we all can get along. But that's another road to travel. I'm going to let Gloria start talking now. And so she may have a couple things to say.
Right on. Thank you, my brother. After you speak, Gloria, I want to tap in with you about giving them more. I want to add to it, like people that were like the bad parts of the war. I really want to, add on with that with you also. But Gloria, the floor is yours.
Yeah. Well, exactly what my brother said. The war is very gerrymandered, and we have various different cultures within in the community. So it's a fight. It's a battle. That you're trying to win, run this race because, I got different, culture within the community. And it's very doable that I can win because the reason why I say that, because a lot of individuals in these gerrymandered areas know me. They know my work. They know when I do something, I complete the job. I have a lot of respect because they know who I am. They know that I fight for the people no matter what, who they are. They know I'm out there fighting. So they want somebody down in city council who understands the issues and concerns of the community. Because why? Because I'm in the trenches. I'm talking and listening and walking with these individuals, helping them out with guys that have ex-offenders, background, criminal background, leading them to where they can get a job. Those that want a GED, lead them to resources in the neighborhood that they can go get their GED. I did 65 emergency rental assistance programs for those to get their rent paid, light and gas, during the pandemic. We got several young youth, LGBTQ population that's within our community. Connect them with Harlan's Alliance where they can get their medication. They can go and take the, we got homeless people that can go take a shower, get your clothes washed, see the doctor in the process. And they in that, they also helping them find housing. So I was part of that steering committee when they was closing down the schools in the greater Inglewood area. And I'm fighting for Harper High School, Earl, John Hope, as well as Robeson. But, well, we didn't win because we was outnumbered. Then Whole Food came along. I was a very strong instrumental in them hiring 43 ex-offenders because their policies would not allow anyone to get hired with a criminal background. But they went back and changed that. Mm-hmm. Now we're in the battle of Save-A-Lot that's coming into the community. Community does not want Save-A-Lot in the neighborhood. So I'm out in the trenches walking and talking and addressing the issue. So I am the better candidate because I've been here since 1970. Even the city in Alderman, he only been here 8 years. And the young lady, the other candidate, she only been here 2 years. So I understand the issues and concerns of the 15th Ward being disinvested. And this is the reason why I'm running. I'm running for the people because I am the people. And the voice for those
questions.
Question.
Some of those who follow me on social media, we are trying to be as objective as possible, but they've seen some of the issues that we've even raised in regards to the current alderman, ranging from the historical, I didn't even come on in, have a seat a minute, what they refer to as, what is it, the old folks, the event, the annual event that's every year in Inglewood, 59th, the Hermitage Park.
And neighborhood reunion. Neighborhood reunion.
Neighborhood reunion, which sticks in the, I need y'all to be quiet, Mr. Professor. The annual event, which for generations, you know what I'm saying? People, you know, I mean, I had to come back in town. People said, man, where you at? You know, cameras going down. And something, you know, annually that, you know, people get updates from grammar school. And it's one of the few things that we have that, you know, the community comes around. And I recall this situation where all the Lopez was literally, it was day after, and like a paper bag or something. We were trying to use it to justify stopping this annual event. And this is something we everybody come out. And I remember raising the issue about that. And some outside people on the outside may look like don't in Chicago and Southside, Inglewood in particular. This is a mainstay of Inglewood people. You know what I'm saying? But, I mean, with the steppers, all the different people come out. You know, so they come together. And I remember the arrogance of him challenging that, and even some issues. And it's a arrogance that I've seen, like even with his own respect, he exercised with his own respect to the community. I can't recall what it was with the Spanish speaking community, the Mexicano community in particular, on 40th and Justine. It was something that occurred, and you know, so they had to raise up, expose some things with him. But he had it's more things that, you know, say I don't want to go into the long thing, but it's more things. But
here's the thing, Fred.
Can I come in?
Here's the thing. Hold on, Glenn. So, okay, go ahead, on Glenn.
To backtrack for the neighborhood reunion. Again, yeah. Our family been involved with that for over 30, 40 years, and that annual picnic we do. Pass out food for those that come to visit, don't have money. You know, the area has a lot of people in there that's, you know, on drugs, you know what I'm saying, and just no money.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to have a good time, too. So what my family has been doing for over 30-some years was we was providing free food, sometimes beverages, beer. Because, you know, when you come to a picnic, you want to have a good time. And just to have people walking around, hey, can I get a sandwich here? Can I get a sandwich there? Can I get a piece of meat there? I mean, we started giving away food so that everybody could have a good time. And that thing, again, people come in from out of town. It was going on for years. And one particular year, after the picnic, we cleaned up because we have crews that come by to pick up and garbage. So we placed the garbage all over near the field house. And that particular night, it was high winds, and there was people roaming through the trash. And so when they're running through the trash looking for those cans, they're pulling stuff out and not putting stuff back in the bags. And some blew all over the park. It wasn't our fault because we made sure it was clean. What was the park district supposed to came and emptied their trash, but they didn't. And he came by and seen the trash, and immediately he insulted the 59th Street Neighborhood Reunion, calling us all kind of names, filthy this and that. It was on Facebook. He put it all on Facebook. And we fought to try to tell him that wasn't us. We clean up. For 30-some years, we never had a problem at the park. That particular day, high winds, and then people saw guys roaming through the grass looking for cans. And he tried to put a Bosch on that. He tried to set some kind of vent based upon the alderman. He went downtown. Yep. He got involved with the park district. And because he's an alderman, you know, they was leaning towards him because we're just the neighborhood. People coming in from out of town. It was a joyful event. Everybody looked forward for that event. And he tried to stop it. My sister, she yes. went through hell and high water so that we can get that vent to go off. Even the park district got strict. They had police out there monitoring us like criminals, and all we was doing was just trying to have a good time. Like most communities, most communities have some kind of neighborhood reunion. You know, Washington Park, Garfield Park. Everybody have this. Everybody have a reunion just for the people to come back to the neighborhood. They've been there for years, left, gone, come back. You know what I'm saying? Just to see people. You know, people pass away. That is one of the best events that we have in Inglewood. And try to put a box on it. Even knowing that the long standing of good faith we had in that park. That's what he set out to really make it difficult, but through my sister and her contacts and her effort, we was able to continue that. And hopefully, if we can get him out of office, we won't have to deal with him trying to put a box on what we do.
Yeah.
Glory, you got the floor.
Yeah, so exactly what Ben stated. I fought for that. Use my political contact to go over his head to get things, you know, so we can continue to have that neighborhood reunion. And people actually enjoy that. We don't have no violence, no shooting, no nothing. Everybody is collaborating with each other, playing their music, playing cards, whatever it is. So that's a positive thing that goes on in the community. So when I become alderman, I'm going to do more positive events because we need to engage more and get to know our neighbors like we used to know them when we was a little kid and create different programs for the kids. Like we used to play softball against each other on different blocks. You remember that, Fred? Have you used to play softball with one another in the community? So bringing some of those events back into the community is very lacking because we don't even have a community center. So who do our kids have to look up? So I spoke with a young man who went to school with me. He got a boxing check. And I said, hey, I would like for you to come and train some of these kids. He said, Gloria, I would love to do that. But he's a Hispanic guy. He went to school. He said, I would love to come over there in Inglewood and train some of those kids to box. He said, I've got some guys that came from Inglewood have won various titles. And he said, I would love to come over there and train those kids. And this way, it would discipline a lot of those kids. It would take their mind away from the negativity that they see out there in the street. And not only that, would get to travel along with him to different fights and meet some of those individuals who have won a belt. So I'm connecting with different people so I can bring these resources back to my community. Not only that, all these abandoned storefronts is where I want to allow some of the residents who want to start their own business so we can generate our own money and let the dollar circle around in our own community. So if you want to open up a barbershop, which we got quite a few, but if you want to open up you one, you'll be able to. We don't have a shoe shine store. Remember we used to have the people go get their shoe shine. We don't even have a newsstand where people go buy the newspapers and the magazines. We don't even have a decent cleaner. Or we can go and take our clothes to the cleaners. We have to go outside of our community. So if I allow these individuals to use this storefront, don't have a bakery. So Big Mama don't have to keep making all these pies and cakes in our house. She can do it in the storefront. Because she have a place where it's big enough and an oven where she can make multiple cakes and pies to sell in the community. So that's one of my goals to inspire a lot of the young brothers out here to start your own business, entrepreneurship. Then I have a relationship with Cook County Land Bank. They can get them to come and purchase some of these properties in our community. You don't want to work? Here's a way you can make your income. Buy a property. Utilize the product. You get that one started, you can buy another. You can be your own boss.
What do you see as some of the pros and cons? Like even with you mentioned he came in, he was bro. Okay, two questions. I'm gonna close out with these last two questions. We'll bring our next guest in. First question. I thought he was supposed to run for mayor. And all of a sudden backed up out of that. Yeah, you're supposed to back another candidate. He's supposed to run for mayor, then came back last minute with this. Second question, what's the pros and cons about, I'm sure it's common knowledge, that he was really birthed and backed and brought in powerful, one of the most powerful aldermen, instead of Alderman Ed Burke, now, who's going to be his last term now, who brought him in. And with that being the case, what the pros and cons of that, you know what I'm saying, about him being, I mean, like, technically being backed by the powerful Alderman Ed Burke in this upcoming campaign. So
here's the deal. See, this is the political stuff. This is the second time he made an announcement mm-hmm. that he's running for mayor. And when it gets time for him to turn in his petition, he turns in the automatic petition because he know if he stay in the race, and he don't win, he don't have a job, for one. And two, he know by Chewy running in, he's not going to get those Hispanic votes because those Hispanics love Chewy, so they're going to vote for him. That's one reason. And the reason why they sent him over here because they want the 15th ward back. So that's why they're moving in quickly into our community. So whatever this investment club is that goes down to City Hall and buy up all the properties that's behind taxes or on the scavenger sale, they get those properties and they go to those Hispanic real estate agencies and give it to them, and then that's how they move.
I'm on the radio show right now.
I have to find out. I got to get in there and I can stop and then call those real estate to come in and have a conversation with me. And I'm going to ask them, how many blacks have you sold property to, homes to in the community? You need to sell some of these homes to some of these black residents who wants to come back. There's plenty of blacks who wants to move back to Chicago, but they're having such a difficult time getting in, trying to find property, and they get taken through the red tape, and they lose interest. So sounds like I can actually fill out what's going on in my community and hold everybody accountable, because we have to be part of the community. It's not just about blacks. I got a diverse community. I got to address all issues for everyone.
Where could people touch down to keep updated? You know what I'm saying, in regards to work, your campaign and what's going on in the ward in general, and what's like again? Many of our constituents, like I said, this is new discussion for a lot of people talking about even engaging in electoral political process, and it's kind of
so
buzzing. Do people come out and vote February 28th?
Here's the thing, Fred. This is where we fall short at, because we don't get involved into our community. Once you get involved and learn what's going on, you'd be amazed at what stuff that you don't know. And that's one reason I'm in the community, because I'm trying to find out what's going on. So by me finding out, I see the injustice in the process, so I'm notifying everybody, this is what's going on, you need to get involved. So we got to get involved, no matter what, you have to get involved and learn what's going on in your community. We have to do that, or we're going to fall short every time. Now, it's a forum coming up February 16th, and the forum is against me and the other young lady. We're going to have our debate. It is going to be in the back of the yards at 48th and Hermitage. I will send you that. So,
okay.
And another thing, it's 16 new aldermen that's coming into the office. No one is backing these 16 new aldermen. No one decides to back. I don't have an endorsement nowhere. Nobody endorsed me. So I'm out here fighting this fight. I'm trying to raise money and to get things that I need to get my literature out. But overall, a lot of people know me. They haven't sent my literature because most of my money was used because I was fighting to stay on the petition, and I'm raising money now so I can get my yard signs out so people can know that I'm still in the game. But here's the thing. My young brothers and sisters and Hispanic, whoever, if you haven't registered to vote, you have to register to vote. You have to register because it's a low turnout in West Inglewood that blacks don't vote. And that's where we lost the ward because it shows that it's 62% Hispanic and 48% blacks. And I beg the difference because we didn't do the census and nor did we vote. You got to bring those numbers.
Give us a social media contact so people can stay in contact, stay updated.
They can go to GloriaWilliams415.com. That's my website. They can go on my website and they can look at all the things that we've done. If you have anything to say, they can hit me up with a
One more time, please.
GloriaWilliamsFor15.com.
Right on. Have a comment. Stay with us.
They can write in a comment and let me know what they feel or what they think. Because I'm one thing about it, I'm going to engage the community. I'm going to take 45 individuals from each area of the 15th Ward, and they're going to be my community. Because what's going on over there in Canarias is definitely going on in Gage Park and back in West Inglewood. Because they have issues with Cadillac converters, they have shootings, they have problematic property, the same issues that we have in our community. So there's no difference. We share the same issues, the same problems. Just certain areas just highlighted more.
Well, stay in contact with us. I'm going to say keep us up to speed on the campaign. We're here every Wednesday, 6:30, 8:30 p.m. Central Time. I may be in town. I may not be. I live out of suitcase. I'm in studio. You're welcome to come in studio guest with us. So, again, thank you for coming on with us. Any closing
thank
comments
you,
before we go to our next guest? Anytime.
Okay.
We live
bye-bye.
Direct
have
Free
a good
Radio. I'll use you alone, Brother Glenn, as well. Yes, indeed. We live direct Free Mall Radio, making history, taking history, taking history. I got someone from the school board, I think in Harvey or Dalton. I don't know the number. They're supposed to be tapped in on the call-in right now. So we bring them in. I want to make sure we get our guest live and direct who we got here now. Luckily, we have them live. We're not taking for granted he is live. Those who are not familiar with the guest will be coming in with us before we close out. Jonathan Strickland. Las Cruces, New Mexico. Type that in before you bring them on. Luckily, we have them live. You know, we set a press conference today. So we put an article, but Google that right now. So, comrade, look in the call, look in the queue. See, I don't know the number. So,
no,
the school board, y'all press one.
We have Trustee King of the Hammond, Indiana School Board on the line. Fremont.
Thank you, Comrade Fremont. Welcome, Trustee. Welcome to Fremont Radio. I'm Chairman Fred, having Virginia come to you live and direct. This is a weekly radio show, and the Black Panther Party comes. Welcome.
Good evening. This is Trustee Blake King. Can you hear me?
Good evening.
Great.
Good evening.
I've really enjoyed what I've heard thus far. So I'll be calling in regularly. Mm-hmm. I am Carlotta Blake King, trustee for School City Hammond. And basically I want to talk about the systemic breakdown, decline of education, not only throughout this country, but specifically in Hammond, Indiana. I'm serving my second term on this board, and I have watched the decline to my face. I'm the only African-American on this board, and I have been shut out, shut down, mic turned off, walked out, left me sitting by myself because I take my job seriously, and I am threatened by that. And we had our public work session last night where it was revealed what I already knew, how deplorable the test scores were and how we have failed these children tremendously. Our demographic makeup is probably 90% black and brown children, and you can't make me believe that these black and brown children can't learn. However, we received close to $60 million from the ARR CARES ESSER 2 and 3 funding, and to date, we have yet to use that money for counseling, for classes for our parents, comprehensive tutoring, comprehensive mentoring. I can go on and on and on how we could have used this money to salvage some of these students that fail these test scores. I read, PSAT, and our graduation rate last year was 66.6%, and the state norm is 80%. So, you know, we got to get involved. It's extremely hard for me to get folks involved here in Hammond, one excuse after the other, but yet I can't do it by myself. When they elected me, I felt like I was Obama. Hey, guys, I'm going to serve you because I know who I serve and why I serve. However, I can't do it alone. When I attend these school board meetings and there is no one in the audience looking like me, it's hard. When I'm ganged up, bullied, but again, it's about me. It's about these children that are not getting a quality education. And mostly, I am aware now that in Westfield, Indiana, they are currently in the process of planning to build a 4,200-bed prison, and basically for these students in the third grade that failed. We know how the industrial complex, they base building prisons throughout this country based on third grade scores. So basically, these kids that have gone through this so-called pandemic, and I'm tired of people using the pandemic as to why these children aren't learning. So again, somehow we got to get folks, you know, riled up to the fact that education matters, you know, and that's fundamental. That's basic. If we don't educate our kids, I mean, that's our hope. I mean, our grandparents and great-grandparents, and I can go on and on and on down through our legacies, that's all we knew, get an education. But now the systems to be are preventing us systematically for getting a quality education. They are literally preparing us for prison. And we got to get excited. We got to get on board. And all of, you know, we just got to do what we got to do. Otherwise, we are facing a pandemic, epic pandemic, of students that are just going to be left free to do whatever. You know, either we educate them or we're going to see them knocking us in our head, robbing us or whatever. You know, I hate to go to that extreme, but what is it going to take for parents and business owners? I mean, they need an educated workforce, do they not? Where are they going to fuel their factories and their businesses if we don't educate our kids? They are educating a select few, but again, our urban and rural students are becoming just an epic disaster when it comes to education. So I'm on board. I need help. We need to talk about this.
Three questions, Trustee. One.
Yes.
Kind of give our listeners and viewers a little feel geographically where we at. Could you, one, okay, like how Hammond, Indiana. What's
it's
like?
Right,
how,
it's 7
how
miles
far
from Gary, Indiana, 43 miles from Chicago.
7 miles
we're right
from
on the state line.
That's
you know,
okay.
My home.
That's what I'm about to ask.
7 miles from the state line of Illinois. So the proximity
okay.
is there.
So,
that's where we are.
Okay. Okay. So, okay. 30. Okay. Let me make sure my people are listening. Let me know if y'all can still hear me on Instagram. Cause once they call, let me know if y'all can still hear me. Second question: what are some of the specific obstacles that you're dealing with? Like in other words, like in Chicago, some years back they had these, like Renaissance 2010. These are some of the actual roadblocks, the agendas that were set up that had to be exposed, or you know, or like the under George Bush, former U.S. President George Bush, leave no child behind. What are there some certain programs or the certain like individual? What are the certain like obstacles or roadblocks that are hindering moving forward in the education process? That's the second question, and third, whatever. How can people help in exposing them and challenging them?
That's the biggest issue, exposing them and challenging. You know, I live in a community where I'm told primarily our parents that live in the housing developments, They literally tell me, well, Ms. King, if I go to that microphone and say something, they're going to take away my food stamps or they're going to take away whatever. And that's why we voted for you, because we know you're going to stand up for us. But again, I need folks at a board meeting to shame these folks, because when you have a board that is made up of one black, one Hispanic, and the rest are white, the superintendent is Republican, and three of the board members are Republican, so the mindset on that board is they don't give a darn. They don't care. And that's our biggest barrier, people not getting support from the community at large. And either they don't believe fat meets greasy. I hate to use that, but that's my grandmama always say. But that's our biggest barrier, getting people out organizing. And every time I get close to that point of organizing, something gets in our way, and bam, the steam is just taken out. And, you know, my son had a T-shirt out for a while, which I would never wear it. I hate saying this. Black folks don't stay mad long. That's our problem. We get mad for a minute. Then we're going to go sit down and let the elected officials or whomever do their job. So the barrier basically is ourselves. We're the biggest barrier. Because if we went to school board meetings or council meetings or what have you and voice our opinion, if these people won't be so quick to in your face do what they do. I have shared with every area within our community, the data. I'm a data person. The numbers are horrific, deplorable, and they just didn't happen tonight. Last night, we finally got the results of our PSAT scores, our I-Ready scores, and you got seven kids out of 300 or something that passed. Now, how simple can you make it? So you know somewhere in that number, your child is in that number who did not pass, who can't read and write. Yes. So that's the biggest barrier, is ourselves. What does Fannie Lou Hamer say in 1964? I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. So that's our biggest barrier in a nutshell. That answers 1, 2, and 3. We are our biggest barrier.
Well, let me go with the analogy. Okay. Like, similar to, like, we challenge certain questions, like, this issue with the police in our community. We'll say, like, there's a particular campaign we get people mobilized, like, stop and frisk. Well, let's go with the Fannie Lou Hamer analogy. Fannie Lou Hamer was able, when she went to Atlantic City, Jersey, when they went marched down and down there to the Democratic Convention, and even when Humphrey and Mondale, and they tried to get her to take two non-voting seats, that callous she used to help expose, you know, she said, like, she said, all of us in March, you know, two seats, you know what I'm saying, all of us are tired. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. But that was the gut hitter, the hard hitter about that, that we didn't have they didn't have no representation, that's of Lowndes County, Alabama. With a certain, like, hard hitter, I can, like, a certain agenda, a certain campaign that they have came with in the school, that we can get people mobilized on, like, making a bad word that they hear it. Like, I don't know if it's a certain, I mean, we know all of this is atrocious, you know what I'm saying? But if there's something particular we can get people mobilized around to say, challenge this particular piece of legislation, or this is the most, the ball, putting the ball, a major contradiction or attack that's hitting the children. It may be the searching policy. It may be the lack of funding. You know what I'm saying? Who can we target? Who can we expose? That's what I'm asking.
Well, mobilizing would be perfect. Money is not an issue. They have the money. But again, when they try to pat themselves on the back and say, well, we spent 20% of the $65 million towards loss of learning, so I say, show me the data. And then I've been asking for that for months, but when I get the data, I see it's spent on everything else but that. I mean, brick and mortar is fine, but it does not educate kids. You know, we need comprehensive programs. And the biggest thing, sir, is I do need mobilization of people to get them into the mindset that your child matters. Your child does not have to fail. The children are failing. We are failing them. I keep reversing that. They're not failing. So mobilization would be key for Hammond, Indiana. If we can mobilize parents, get them to a school board meeting, and just if I can get them in a room, if not to a school board meeting, somewhere prior to a school board meeting, if I can have a town hall meeting. But I have been beat down by these board members saying, well, once a decision is made, you can't go out there and say anything. You can't. Really? I'm an elected official. And for a minute, they had me thinking that once a decision is made, because it's always 4-1. You know, I'm always, you know, it's always 4-1. I don't care what the situation is, you know, it's 4-1 because I'm not voting. I'm not, you know, putting my hand up and supporting that stuff. So mobilization is the key in Hammond as I see it right now. Now, I might be missing something, and that's doable, but mobilization at this point, organizing, mobilization, getting people at the mind. Go ahead, I'm sorry. So that's where I am right now.
Can you give us a contact? Okay.
My contact number is 219-256-1770.
One more time, please.
219-256-1770.
Yes. Okay. And this is your name again, Trustee?
Yes, sir. 219-256.
Your name again, Trustee. Your name again?
Carlotta Blake King. Trustee Carlotta Blake, hyphenated King, K-I-N-G.
Yes, indeed.
And I'm the only African-American that serves.
That should be noted also. You're the only African-American on the board?
On the board. I'm going on my fifth year, and it's been hell. I mean, I'm sitting there talking, expressing myself. They turn the mics out and walk out. I have been bullied.
Out of board meetings, are they online?
Yes, they are online. You can go back 5 years. YouTube,
okay.
School City of Hammond. You just go on YouTube, School City of Hammond board meetings, and you can see them. You can watch last night.
Okay.
So I literally lit into them. I'm tired.
Yes, indeed. We're going to check it in, stay in contact with us. Again, it's Freedom Radio. We're here every Wednesday. So we're going to take those past board meetings out and keep us updated, please.
Yes, sir, I will. Thank you so much.
Anytime. Thank you very much. We live the record. Thank you. Freedom Radio, y'all making history, checking history, y'all. We're going to get right into it. We full day today. We did a press conference again. Matter of fact, we're going to let the brother introduce himself, you know what I'm saying, and down to the last closing minutes. But come on in with us, brother. How you feel, my brother? You know, I know you... I met the brother yesterday, and
I wanted to share this with you guys.
See if they can see you right here. Scoot in with us. Your name?
So I'm Jonathan Strickland. I'm the man who got shot by Las Cruces police. I'm here with Brother Chairman. And I actually wanted to show you this because the city finally responded. I just realized that they updated this article about the lawsuit.
Since when?
It says it's updated like a few hours ago.
Wow.
So it says the city's attorney responds.
No.
Should I read it?
No, it's not a freak. We're talking about the brother who was shot by the police. You're going to talk about this case right now. Just keep trying to put a question up there. I know where the question came from.
So Las Cruces, New Mexico, the city's attorney finally responded.
Oh, hold on one second. Somebody called. That's why they can't hear. That's not you. People, they okay. One second. It's not even you.
I appreciate all the support, by the way. Seriously.
Brother, man. Let me get this back up. If I can put it on post, don't call on Wednesday, 6:30, 8:30. People still calling in.
So
one second. Let a few people, your viewers, get back in with us, y'all. And so, when y'all come back in with us. except I came with us a few minutes. See, tell me, get a style loser. Okay.
Brother, I know my attorney on the flight right now, so I know I won't be able to see too much, obviously, pending litigation, but I definitely think it's important to read the response.
Before we go to response, I'm going to put in context. The press cut, okay, because all this is familiar, so depending on who you are. Just, I don't know if y'all understand. I don't think there's no coincidence that this response happens all of a sudden.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Crazy how the universe
works. And how the people work. You know what I'm saying? right here, by Cruces, New Mexico, March 11, 2021.
Yes, sir.
The video is posted. You're going to take it on to the video scene that the truck was shot up over 100 times?
Over
90 times.
At least 90.
Confirmed 90. So you know that they own records. Brother was shot up, handcuffed. The pictures of him are there. Y'all type his name in. We got him right here with us right here. We did a press conference today. And it's breaking news. The city, their attorney responded. And we don't think it's no coincidence. We had Attorney DeWitt Lacey, Attorney John Burris,
Julia Quesada,
Jacob Blake, y'all for that case. Of course, myself and others came down, but you know what I'm saying, let the world know that we do, you know what's happening down here. The city been giving the runaround. After he was shot, I don't want to draw no foregone conclusions, y'all knew this, he was locked up. You know what I'm saying?
Over a year.
They
helped me without bond for a case that was dismissed, and they're still trying to pursue charges in a case that, clear as day, my ex-wife admitted that she lied. There's no evidence. They're still prosecuting it. And the judge, judging my case for that criminal case, used to be a Las Cruces police officer.
Wow.
So there's definitely a history of corruption here, and this city needs to be exposed. And I just want to thank my attorneys, Mr. DeWitt Lacey, John Burris, Ms. Julia Quesada, and also Ms. Victoria Lucero, because I know I'm absolutely in good hands. And I really appreciate all the support. I know I'll never be the same, but having support helps me at least try to get back on track. So thank y'all. I know I'm not allowed to say too much, but I really do appreciate you, Brother Chairman, and everybody else who's been here. Thank you again for coming out to New Mexico, and just thank everybody for the love and support.
Right on.
I really appreciate it.
Right on. We're here. So y'all type his name in, see the video, put yourself what occurred in March 11, 2021, and there's an article from today, and also this breaking news about the city responding. And did you want to read that response?
Yes.
Okay.
So the city's attorney responds. So it says, 5 hours after the news conference, an attorney representing the city of Las Cruces responded to the allegations contained in the lawsuit. And their quote from Luis Robles, I guess the Albuquerque attorney who's representing the city, he said that my attorneys injected race and ethnicity into a case where it doesn't belong. They also went on to say that they're pushing back on the allegation that there was a culture of police brutality within Las Cruces Police Department. Instead, Luis Robles, the attorney for the city, argued that Strickland's actions during the chase immediately after led officers to believe that Strickland had a gun and planned to use it. But also, further on in the article, earlier on, it also confirms that I was indeed unarmed. I mean, that can easily be verified. So, like I said, I'm not allowed to say too much without my attorney, but this just sounds like a piss-poor excuse for police brutality, and it sounds like a pathetic excuse instead of taking accountability. The police officers need to be accountable. My ex-wife, who lied, needs to be accountable. They all need to be thrown in jail, and I really don't have much else to say, Jeremy. I appreciate the support.
A lot, man. In fact, you know, again, I don't. We say we come into, this is live and direct, and we do not take for granted that you are live and that you're able to be here. So we just appreciate you, you know, being here. I mean, appreciate the fact that you survived. You know, again, those who have seen that video, please, again, y'all go pull it up. go put it up.
Please share it, because they did this to an unarmed black person. They did this to an unarmed human being, but we are absolutely certain they did this because I'm black. How do you reload multiple clips and continue firing on an unarmed person, but you think that somehow they have a weapon? That's pathetic. It's evil. It's egregious, and I just hope that they're accountable, and I just hope that I can be able to be reunited with my children and just move on with my life and my family and put this terrible nightmare behind us.
Well, we're going to try to get, as I said, turn the wheel. They in traveling right now. Get them online with us next week so we can keep legally keep everybody up there with the court dates, whatever, you know what I'm saying, the proceedings are happening with the case. But again, we live in the rec, y'all. We've been moving and grooving. Did we miss anything?
I think that's it, Brother Chairman.
Okay.
Thank you.
Right on, right on. Free Mall Radio, that's your homework assignments. Y'all, it's been a full episode. You know what I'm saying? The spirit of making history, taking this and taping history, y'all. Keep us posted, y'all. We will be everywhere. We have a call.
Free Mall, Brother Chairman, we have another call in queue. Sister Rosalind Morris.
Okay, comrade. Okay, welcome to Free Mall Radio.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, my name is Rosalind Morris, and hello.
Yes. We hear you. Welcome.
Okay. Hello. I'm following up about the Devonna Walker case out of Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Devonna Walker was the 29-year-old mother of three who was stabbed to death by her white supremacist neighbor, and the Cedar Rapids, Iowa Police Department did not arrest them that night. They haven't made any arrest, and the family is just really trying to get the story out there.
For those who just tuning in with us or may not be up to speed, I think we first was talking about this, I think it was 3 weeks ago. They about to leave?
About that time.
I'm honest for you, probably. Hold on a second. Okay, I got you. I appreciate y'all, brother.
Thank you.
Stay in contact. Right on, brother. Right on. This case right here, you can, for y'all can, so y'all, this is the City Rappers, Iowa.
Yes, sir.
Just give me about 2 minutes. I'll let y'all just hang around for 2 more minutes. Walker, this is a case of Cedar Rapids, Iowa. I think it was 3 weeks ago. We get worried about this here, but we get updates now. So we're about, you know what I'm saying, right again. And we, go ahead, so I didn't mean to cut you off. If y'all can listen in, bring us back up to speed again. What's the status? What's happening?
Devonna was murdered a month ago on January 2nd. There still haven't been any charges filed. The district attorney, his name is Nick Maybanks. The number is 319-892-6350. He says that he is going to announce a decision at the end of – it's 319-892-6350. His name is Nick Maybanks. That's the district attorney. He said that he's going to announce at the end of the month first to Devonna's mother and then to the public what he's going to do about filing charges against the neighbor. The neighbor is a known white supremacist. The neighbor is on the domestic violence registry in Cedar Rapids. The neighbor has a history of harassing his black neighbors and was kicked out of his old apartment complex. He's trying to say that it was stand your ground because Iowa is a stand your ground state. And we're just trying to really get as much attention to this as possible so that we can put pressure on the Cedar Rapids DA before the end of this month when he says that he's going to announce his decision to press charges because...
I'm going to follow up to this. Go ahead, since I'm going to cut you off. Go ahead.
Like we were saying, if it was flipped, and the white woman had approached Devonna and her male companion, and the white woman had pushed Devonna down, and then Devonna's male companion instantly stabbed the white woman and killed her. He would have been arrested that night. They would have been arrested. Charges would have been filed. This was a hate crime. It was a racist murder, and it's racism that's taken the DA so long to even do something to press charges. And he released a statement where he made clear that he's been working in working with the Cedar Rapids Police Department, and that they're doing this and they're doing that, but that's not true. They're not making any progress. They say that they can't find witnesses to interview, but it was people out there who saw her murder. If you remember, her murder was caught on video and it's circulated online. People have seen it, so I'm not sure why he can't find a witness.
Also, let me ask you this also. We've been getting reports about people being receiving arbitrary eviction notices out of their apartment, stuff that is retaliation. Just for you to say, tell me what they've seen and witnesses. Have you heard anything about that down there?
I have not. I haven't heard anything about that. I've heard that when after they killed Devonta that nobody knows where they went, and I don't know where they are. It's the rumors that they're being hidden or protected. I don't know why, but it definitely seems like nothing's being done to them, and nothing would have been done to them.
My phone. Is there any dates for before the decision comes down from the district attorneys? Are there any calls for people? You know, saying mobilizations or people should call. Okay, you know, they're calling them again. Also, for any ground mobilization, anything happening down? I see that rapping about.
No.
If people want to, we're also trying to get in contact with the Department of Justice to get them to look at the case, and also the FBI, as it's a hate crime. So just in case we have to go above the city of Cedar Rapids, I would just suggest getting in contact with the Department of Justice and the FBI and turn it in as a hate crime to see if we can get them to look at it.
Okay.
February the 12th would have been Devonta's 30th birthday. She left behind three children. She didn't even get to be 30. She did not deserve what happened to her. I don't care what anybody says about it being self-defense. It was not self-defense. He was not threatened. I also wrote a poem that my cousin wants me to read. This is in honor of Devonta Walker. It says, "I am not superhuman, and I'm certainly not subhuman. If you cut me, I bleed.
Hold on,
if you hurt me, I cry. Stab me, I die. I do not have super strength. I can't kill you with my bare hands. My presence scares you, but that's just your projection, your reflection. My life has value and it has meaning, as I was created by the Most High. I am his reflection. When I leave this earth, it matters. I matter. America should feel shame for the way it treats me, but it doesn't even understand the meaning. Not only am I human, flesh and blood, but I am God's child, sacred. If you do not recognize this, then you do not know him, so don't you dare say his name. I, too, am flesh and blood, and I bleed America." And the family also wants me to mention that Devonta has a GoFundMe page. If you go to GoFundMe, you just have to put in her name, Devonna Walker, Walker, and it's for her three children.
Give me. We usually close out with some music or something. I want to close out with that with the poem you have one more time. First, I want you to tell us the significance of February 20th, and is there going to be any balloon releases, anything? And also, she has three children, correct?
Yes.
Okay, give me that. Okay, the GoFundMe one more time, and give me how old would she have been on February 20th? How old would she be?
On February 12th, she would have turned 30 years old.
On February 12th? You said February 12th?
Yes, the 12th.
Okay, my fault. I said the 20th. February 12th is her birthday. She would be 30?
30 years old.
Is there going to be a balloon release or something something planned for her?
I'm not sure. I am in Mississippi.
See if you can get. Do we have another show before the 12th? No. What's the date? Today is the 12th. Or day the 8th. Do we come back on Wednesday? See, I. Okay. Let us know What's going on? Okay, then go. She'll be 30 years old. Give me the GoFundMe information again, and we down to two more minutes. I want you to close out with that poem and give us the GoFundMe information and any other social media contact update with the case. But I want you to close out with that poem that's dedicated to Devonna Walker.
Okay, her GoFundMe, you just put in her name, Devonna Walker, D-E-V-O-N-N-A, Walker, W-A-L-K-E-R, and it should come up. I'm just trying to also plead to the public that if you know any lawyer or any type of lawyer that can help the family, can you get in touch with the family? You can even go to my Twitter page, type in Rosalind Morris, you'll see me. And we're just trying to get a lawyer because the DA is trying to tell her mother's son that she doesn't need a lawyer, so the family really needs legal help. You can find me on Medium. You can find me on Twitter. Just type in R-O-S-A-L-Y-N-M-O-R-R-I-S. Or just try to contact me, please, if you have any help. And the poem is called I Too Bleed America. I am not superhuman, and I'm certainly not subhuman. Dedicated to Devonna Walker. I am not superhuman, and I'm certainly not subhuman. If you cut me, I bleed. If you hurt me, I cry. If you stab me, I die. I do not have super strength. I can't kill you with my bare hands. My presence scares you, but that's just your projection, your reflection. My life has value, and it has meaning. As I was created by the Most High, I am His reflection. When I leave this earth, it matters. I matter. America should feel shame for the way it treats me, but it doesn't even understand the meaning. Not only am I human, flesh and blood, but I am God's child, sacred. If you do not recognize this, then you do not know Him. So don't you dare say His name. I too am flesh and blood, and I bleed America. That's in honor of Devonna Walker.
Right on. We're going to close with that. So the comrades, thank you. Appreciate you so much. Make sure we get that call in. Those we miss, make sure y'all tune in and tap in with us next week again. Y'all, another episode of Free 'Em All, making history, taking history, taking history. Live and direct from where we at?
Las Cruces, New Mexico.
Did this here, man. Keep your hands up, eyes on the fist. What's it called? Free 'Em All. When you close out the song, we're going to close out with that poem right there. Well said, man. They say it ain't broke, don't fix it. Y'all, just when you want to walk, just for them all. Just John Strickland, just for them all. Yes, indeed. All right, Free 'Em All, same time, same station, y'all. Free 'em all. Take us, no, I don't know. Don't take us out. That's it. No song.